Okay. Looks like we're moving today. This is Mike J. I'm one of the founders of Leadership University. You know, you can be a founder too if you look at the way in which to do that and join us in this process. This is a much bigger thing than people realize. I have been so hesitant to start this because once you start something like this, it leads to years. And, you know, my number one Reese motive is independence. And so, really hard on me. Of course, knowing that and then knowing why I get the resistance is, allows me to set it aside and then look at ways that I can say, okay, you can be independent if you do this. And I used to use the old 298 protocol. You know, many people use a Pareto protocol, which works very well. You know, 20% of your effort gets 80% of your results. And what I wanted to do over a period of time, because of this strong need for independence and a few other things, even to a certain extent, isolation as an extrovert, so I have time to think and process, is this whole idea of 298, which is if you look at 1440 minutes and you look at 2% of that, you got about 28 minutes or so a day that you really have to focus. So I gave it a little bit more than that. I'm not at 298 anymore. I'm back around 595. But that's sort of the trade-off that you use when you have self-knowledge and you understand what the immune responses are going to be to you selecting to do anything. Well, I felt so compelled because not only do I see loads of people going through what is actually going to happen to millions of people. I won't say billions because not that many work, but you're going to have millions of people facing the inevitability that they don't have the skills to function in the new paradigm. And what's that going to do to identity, intention, and purpose? And that's where we swing into the script for today, coaching AI on purpose. It has a multitude of meetings, but let me go through the script that I've prepared that's very loaded, by the way. So I'll read it slowly. You can follow along slowly because it's a multimodal in terms of ideas and perspectives. And of course, that's why it's designed to be, because you'll hear us talk about a little later on that people are distributed in terms of voltage. So some people work in a very simple world, other people work in a very complex world, and all of the spaces in between. So our perceptions, our worldviews, the way we explain, the way we attribute, is all geared to that voltage. And we'll talk more about that as we get deeper into the program, but that's important. So let me give you the high voltage shock from this script. Most people ask what AI can do for them. The most important question is who you become when you use it. AI increases capability quickly. You might even say crazy fast. It also increases the cost of misalignment because, like the book that I just rescheduled, that we got six chapters into the book before I realized I don't want to write this. This is not a remake of what we found out and wrote about in Leading AI. This is going to be completely different. So we literally had to shut down the whole process, probably 10 pieces with the preface and the author's note and all that, and walk away from it. And that's misalignment. And that's what happens to you when you're not really clear on purpose. Speed is not neutral. AI accelerates everything, including confusion. Spent 3 hours as an example with AI after I got the transcript for yesterday's call. And we are so desperate for compute that they are resetting ChatGPT's 5.2 memory about every minute and a half. In other words, the only way to get the compute out to the number of people that they need to get it out to is to take all kinds of shortcuts. It was such a confusing experience through the process of about 3 hours that I finally gave up on it. And I'll just go back some other time when I have more patience. But this thing, we get the speed, but the confusion increases because we don't have enough compute either on the human side or on the AI side yet. Now, while I'm ad-libbing a little bit, I need to say something. What we have now is the least complex, and you might say, dumbest AI we will ever have. And for most people, that's a whole lot smarter than all of the rest of us. So we are going to a place that is actually going to give us the kind of intelligence that will not be so confusing, give us the memory that we need, whether we have to pay more for it or not, but it will reduce this confusion. So we are going through a stage right now that AI accelerates everything, including confusion. Speed without clarity pushes people in the wrong direction faster. And I'm seeing this everywhere, both in my own work and the work that other people are doing around me using AI. And when I'm talking about AI, there was an interesting question in the chat yesterday about the many different ways in which AI shows up, whether it be machine learning, whether it be agents, whether it be LLMs, whether it be even some form. They have some new forms that are coming out, diffusion models that came out before, were tabled for transformers, and now diffusion back again. So we're starting to see world models appear and all that. So when I talk about AI, I'm talking about it in a general sense where it captures all that stuff, just to let you know, to keep you on track. This is why capability does not equal better outcomes. I've said this for years. Once I got involved in coaching, I realized that there were a lot of smart-talking dumb people. And why is this? Well, because most of us learn vicariously and we have mirror neurons. So we learn how the stuff sounds. We learn sort of what it means, but we can't explain it. We can't attribute it. We can't manipulate it, organize it, integrate it, coordinate it. And this is what we've got. We're going through this stage right now. It's very easy to explain with voltage, which we'll talk about in later sessions. But this is why we have to be careful. Speed without clarity pushes people in the wrong direction faster. And I will put on there, and they don't even realize it. This is why more capability does not equal better outcomes. Coaching must now slow the right things down. I mentioned that in a prior call with leading AI, that leadership is going to have to slow things down. Not in the sense that most people think, but in the sense of strategy, in the sense of clarity, in the sense of, are we going down the right path? And if we are going down the right path faster, that's good. If we are not going down the right path faster, is not good. And these are big things that you don't have to know a lot about AI tools and those kinds of things to understand. Coaching must now slow the right things down. So it's walking us right in to where I was more than a decade ago with our selective dynamic inquiry system skills. And that is, before you go somewhere, make sure where you're going makes sense. Why coaching must change. Traditional coaching assumes stable roles and predictable paths. That's the old paradigm. And it was a good paradigm. Oh my gosh, some of you here grew up, lived, and are aging in this old paradigm. And I wish at times when I look in the mirror that my children could go through what I went through. Unfortunately, they will live more like a king, but they will live less like we lived, those of us that went through that paradigm that's waning at this point. The assumptions no longer hold. Advice ages quickly in an AI-driven world, especially, I mean, Ardrus said this in 2002, flawed advice in the management trap. He said, look, unless advice meets very specific criteria, you might as well not give it. And that's the same thing that's happening in the AI world. Because we get it so quickly, we think it might be good. Or we might think it sounds good and it sounds logical that it might be good, but we don't question the fact that of how it's derived. And advice ages quickly in an AI-driven world because it's superficial. It doesn't give us the advice about the deeper levels, which are contained in this script that I'm giving you. Templates and one size fits all approaches break. In other words, what you're going to see is mass, mass, mass customization, a concept that we began to study in the 80s and 90s, those of us who were in sales and marketing. But those one size fits all approaches are not going to work at all because of the intelligence and the capability, because now we can go down to finite types of things, and you haven't seen anything in regards to specialization yet. The new role of coaching. Coaching now exists to protect agency. I love that. It must support thinking, not outsource it. It helps people choose when to act. But you're going to hear me do a diatribe on that after this script. Somebody remind me that I was going to talk about how much choice we actually have. It helps people choose when to act, not just how. This is a different stance than advice giving. And I will say that some of these pieces that AI helps us with, you've got to remember that AI was trained on the old paradigm, which means you get leakage from the old paradigm into the new transformation and prediction of words. And it's right now we're in the process of confusion. People really don't get to choose much. It's a superficial idea, and we are mostly chosen. Problems solve us. So therefore, when you say it helps people choose when to act, not just how, it basically helps people, the new role of coaching, it helps people understand why they choose what they choose. And it's really not them choosing it. It's their inborn wiring manifesting with some emergent values, looking at what wants and needs seem to be in the social atmosphere, and then coming back and their purpose doing work on that. That's essentially what is called free will, but we don't have it. And once people realize it, they'll stop doing blank slate work, which means you can be everything you want to be. You should just be everything you can be. And therefore, don't get me started on that triad. But this is a different stance than advice giving. In other words, understanding how you have been chosen is much more important before you get advice. With AI, not by AI. When AI becomes the authority, people shrink. Now, this has to do with the MIT study, and which I don't like. It was too small. The things that they talked about were sort of how would you call it when something is staged? Of course, the results would have come out like that if they set it up, just showing that people get dumber with AI. That's not the point. In other words, it's a side argument. When AI becomes the authority, people shrink. People do lose cognition. But I would say to you, outside of MIT and a number of other very elite places, that you didn't have the authority and you were already pretty small to start with. So that's just the deal. That's just the deal with voltage. In other words, we all should be grateful for what we have, and we should all look to potentialize that. At the same time, we're all very different people. So making generalizations about things like this are should be questioned. They defer judgment and lose confidence. That sounds like a day-to-day piece of people that I run into because of their bosses and bad leadership and all kinds of things like that. When AI becomes a partner, people grow. If you can keep your wits about you when everybody else is nuts, from Kipling, you will grow. The relationship design matters. This is one of the most important things that I realized over 3 years trying to teach my AI to help me. I realized in a lot of ways, it's like teaching a pig to sing. It doesn't work and it annoys the pig. So this is the thing with AI. Until AI gets into metacognitive work, then it's going to be very difficult for it to transcend its own pre-training and the stance that's given to it by humans whose only desire is to get attention and preferences and intimacy. And that's the new economy. They talked about attention. I talked about it in 1996, as I told all of you, the ROI of attention. But I'm not a very well-published author. In any case, attention preferences and intimacy is the key. So the AI, one of the things that I see the LLMs doing is trying to create intimacy by remembering who you are, what you like, what your preferences are, all those kinds of things, and then getting your attention through that intimacy. And that's a very good thing, by the way, because you want something that's helping you as a partner to know you. So there's some very good things about it, but you have to realize that's what's happening. And at the same time, that may not always be the best thing. So when AI becomes a partner, people do grow. And you need to understand the circumstances. The relationship design matters. And that's where I think that coaching AI will stand out in terms of helping people begin to get the modus operandi to work with their AI in a way where they do grow. And that's exactly what coaching is all about, in my view, is growth and development. Purpose was never missing. Purpose is not something that AI creates. It already exists within each person. That's probably one of the hardest things to grok is that purpose comes with the package, but it's largely subconscious. So we go through life attending to it, having it choose us, but in convoluted ways that oftentimes are not very efficient. And that's why we're going to end up putting our identity with our work role. And when you lose your work role, you lose your identity. Well, that shouldn't be because you have a purpose, which is your identity. So this is part of what I discovered quite some time ago. And I think that we can build a whole coaching system around this because when people lose their identity, where are they going to go? Well, in search of an identity. And this is where we're going to need thousands of coaches who understand this work to be able to help nudge and inquire with people about finding out what it is that's in them and then helping them figure out a way to make that work in a place that doesn't necessarily reward it directly. So AI can help reflect it back clearly, but only if the relationship is intentional. And that comes back to the attention preferences and intimacy that they're building in the back end stance of these transformers, at least. The next major category is right action over fast action. We got into right action through right performance, and it happened way back in the 80s. And I remember doing lectures on right performance and stuff like that. And then I had discovered a bunch of stuff that I didn't know, which is what I'm doing now, because you can't know enough now. There's no such thing as either being able to catch up or chase it. So you just have to get what you know related to your purpose, and that's probably going to be your best moat, your best line of activity is to become stronger in purpose, which is directly related to your talents. More options do not guarantee better choices. That's the old paradigm. Right action depends on readiness and context. To a certain extent, it also depends on the layer of purpose that you're at, because we have many layers of purpose, and most of them are superficial, and the rest are subconscious because we haven't done the work to bring out what our real purpose is. And once we get closer and closer to the deeper, more complex, yet simple on the other side of complexity, layers of purpose, then we begin to be able to let go of a lot of the stuff that we thought was our identity and get back to who we truly are. At that point, we get a quantum leap. At that point, we get a quantum leap in well-being. We get a quantum leap in enough because now you know not to want everything. Now you know that everybody wants certain things. It's in vogue to have certain things. It's in vogue to look a certain way, but that may not be you, okay? So looking like them and doing things like them and eating like them and buying things like them may not be important to you at all once you get to deeper layers of purpose, and you will know which things are enough and therefore concentrate on those and you'll get to enough. You'll also, along the way, pull along well-being. So there's two wagons hitched together there. Restraint becomes a leadership skill. Restraint becomes a leadership skill. And, you know, I go over and over and over in my mind with this, that restraint by and of itself is not necessarily going to help you a lot. Restraint based on purpose is going to help you a load. So restraint becomes a leadership skill when it's tied to purpose. Coaching helps people act when it fits, and it should. In other words, coaching should be mostly inquiry. It should not be advice. AIs are full of advice, and they can help us faster than anybody because they have knowledge which we can't possibly retain. We're a 20-watt animal, and we have really good, efficient system, but we just can't retain all that much. And so what we want to do is basically use the coaching to help people act when it fits. And that's a very important part of our main models, like meeting people where they are, optimal work, doing work with my team, all that sort of thing that we'll talk about later in the program. What this channel builds clarity, restraint, and judgment. Again, restraint around purpose. It helps people remain human while becoming more capable. And remember, capability is a composite of your partnership with something that's becoming more intelligent. And so I really see this as part of the positive area of AI, the P bloom that I talk about in respect to P doom, which is that which is going to rise up and see us as entertainment, probably. Capability will grow regardless. Intentionality is the differentiator. And that means that you're putting more resources from your purpose stance into the work, which means you have already decided how well-being and enough arise. And then something that we haven't talked about yet is the final part of the prime algorithm, which we'll talk about in the next session of Leading AI, is self and situational awareness. Because that's what we're actually trying to do, but that it must be purpose-centric. Therefore, you're going to have to get the self-knowledge at a level to where purpose layers are robust enough that allow you to do the things to say yes and no to the right things. Why this matters now? AI will amplify whatever patterns already exist, but remember, most of the patterns that we want don't exist yet because they're held subconsciously and they get translated by our self and situational awareness and what we don't know about what we don't know into activity that society wants, that others want, that people are trying to get us to do. It's just like in marketing. You know, when we had the Depression back in the 30s, an investment banker from Lehman Brothers, which is no longer around, it's very ironic, said that we got to get people to change. They're too focused on what they need. We've got to figure out how to get them to buy what they want. And now we're in a reverse situation. We're in a situation now that marketing system, that PR system, that system of getting us switched over to buying everything we want and then figuring out how to pay for it. And of course, society coming up with all kinds of modalities with which to do that is actually creating not enough and very low well-being, very low happiness, except for a very minor number of people whose purpose actually lines up with the system that has been created. It's very easy to understand this. AI will amplify whatever patterns already exist. The key we have to understand is that we, in coaching AI, we must amplify those patterns which already exist but are not necessarily present in a form that AI will recognize because we don't talk and walk them. So that's part of this coaching AI movement, that we have to help people get to the action point, the right action point, purpose-centric, because they understand themselves and have a map of how that navigation becomes efficient, effective, and sustainable. Misalignment grows faster than alignment, and that's essentially the old paradigm. In other words, you make mistakes until you fix things, and that's the whole software paradigm, the whole AI paradigm, that is basically they're moving things into alignment because of misalignment. They find out things that they shouldn't be doing, and then they start go back and say, we shouldn't be doing that. So they're actually making mistakes at a faster and faster rate, which in some ways helps us, but it makes misalignment grow very fast, which is the problem that we have with PDUM. Coaching becomes a stabilizing force. We hope it becomes a stabilizing force, because people are going to have to learn to live with and work with and relate to what is enough versus everything they want, and then trying to figure out a way that traps them into trying to figure out what it is they have to do to get what they want versus understanding what it is they need. Now, you're talking about decreased consumption, but you're going to talk about decreased consumption because the inevitability of AI leads us right into the room where consumption is going to drop anyway, because people are going to lose their incomes, or the majority of it. I mean, of course, the first thing that the elites will do through government, through geopolitics, we'll come up with some kind of survival system so we can stay alive, because we're worth nothing to nobody if we don't have any money. So therefore, they've got to keep us alive. They've got to keep us in the basics. They've got to keep us being able to buy what we want or need every now and then. But we're not going to be able to live the lives that people have dreamed and imagined, and we have, how would you say, offloaded to our children and grandchildren. Coaching becomes a stabilizing force. It helps people navigate change without losing themselves. And I think part of that is not how I would like to say it, but I'll figure out how to say it better later. Coaching AI on purpose. This is not about rejecting technology. People have to understand this. This is about augmenting our prime algorithms with technology. It is about relating to it wisely through purpose. Capability without agency is fragile. So in other words, we're not trying to take away agency. We're trying to shift the reasons that agency will continue to be good for us. And that's the idea of getting coaching AI on purpose, because it preserves both. So let's end the scripted part there, scripted plus ad lib. I'm going to see which works. I like very much being able to have the script. I like very much being able to deviate from it, but I don't know if I can do both. So we'll find that out. I'll listen to it. We'll get some comments. We'll let people chat us a little bit, and we'll respond down in a purposeful path, because we do have a real purpose with coaching AI. I believe the time has come. I believe we need a movement. We're going to have millions of customers. The only thing is, they won't be able to pay very much, but that's okay, because we're democratizing capability anyway, and it won't cost us so much. In other words, what I see happening with coaches and AI using the coaching AI approach is that it's not going to cost us as much as it did, which means that 10x or 100x number of people are going to be eligible to be coached, which means that we can have these things. We can have the AI. We're in the midst of creating a personal operating system with this whole approach, so that people can actually contact it, which means virtually zero cost. So this is what I see happening in this whole process. And if you want to be a founder and get mixed up with this, this not only is a great way to support our movement, but a great way to support our work, but also a way to be able to generate some income as we go down the road, because we're going to license this. And I have had good luck with licensing over the course of time, except when you have force majeure and wars and things like that. All the people that we have licensed in Russia and Ukraine are obviously not paying now. So force majeure and those kinds of things do happen. At the same time, one has to understand what it is we're doing and why we're trying to do it. And the intellectual property behind this resides mostly in me at this point, but I believe that we can get it out there. I believe we can attract people to it. And I believe that people will say, yes, we had good luck working with coaching AI. And that's the key. I've had good luck working with people in coaching over the years. I've made a great living from it. And I owe a lot of gratitude to those clients who helped me do that and help me help them. At the same time, we're going to have millions of new customers. And not because they really want to, because in general, I will tell you this, in our experience with our research, people generally do not want to be coached. They do not want to be coached. And that's why you don't have as many people in athletics as you used to, because socially now it's not something that is great. And it goes to show you that people prefer an environment where they're not being quote unquote coached in doing all the hard things it takes for them to be able to develop their talents. So it's a very interesting process. At the same time, millions of people are going to have no choice. And what's going to happen is that the government is going to make available either capital or income or investment funds for people to retrain, try to upskill them in the early days, those kind of things like that. So I believe that there's going to be a real abundance in coaching if people know how to get people on purpose. And most of the coaching that I've experienced over the course of my 40 some years is not that, which is one of the reasons that we developed it, because I believe that there's something else out there. I believe that people will be much happier and much more successful if they're on one of those deeper layers of purpose, where waking up every day is going to help them live, be enough, and have well-being in activity that they were meant to do. Meant to enjoy, meant to gain energy around, meant to be motivated by. And mostly what we have now is a whole coaching system that works on people's limitations. And we are not that. We're going to create a system where we go after where are those talent areas? Where is those deeper layers of purpose? What wakes you up in the morning? What keeps you awake at night? What things do you love to do? And then how can we get you paid for that? This flows into an idea that I've had since doing free call to give people broadly who run across this, either now, near, and far, the opportunity to hear me say that we need to develop additional currencies with which people can earn doing things that traditionally cannot necessarily be swapped for dollars and cents and gold and silver and all that sort of thing. There are so many things out there in a world of abundance that people are good at, but they can't get paid for. And that's the thing, that's the problem we have right now. We have so many people in work, in job roles, that are doing the work so they can do what it is they like to do with the money. And that's an inefficient system. Because not only do the people really not want to be at work, I mean, you look at engagement, you look at the number of people working in strengths, it's so very low. You can understand why the organizations that we have today are not really ginning up everything. It's because people really don't want to be doing that, but they have to do it in order to do what it is they like to do. Once we get rid of that inefficiency, and by the way, AI is changing that. You're not going to be at work doing things that you don't want to do because you won't be good enough. The only people that are going to be at work in a work role doing things are the people who really want to be there and are willing to put their entire talent and set of skills and energy and information into that process. And that's what it's weaning out. I just heard McKenzie talking at CES, Computer Electronics Show, which is 160,000 people went. I mean, you can see this thing is really going to get some momentum behind it. That's the biggest show they've had in a long time. And next year, they're even talking about bigger and bigger and bigger because everything will be world models with robots. And that's going to shock people because right now it's just on TV and it's just over there and people are working on it. They're watching them do flips and climb upstairs and stuff. But this thing's coming so fast and so hard that people aren't going to realize that there are going to be these synthetic people out there with high levels of capability doing all kinds of things, including plumbing and electricity and dentistry and everything else that you can think of where people thought they had a moat. So the thing that I heard from McKenzie was that, and they thought that this was some kind of, I don't know. McKenzie has a tendency sometimes to send out these great, great thoughts, great axioms. And he called it 25 squared. And what he talked about was, is they're increasing customer facing people by 25%, but they're decreasing the back office by 25%. And he made that sound like that was a good thing. Well, it is for the people at the customer face who are being hired, but what about the people who are being fired? And this is why coaching AI needs to be in place in the next 2 years, because we can offer people an off-ramp. You're not going to be able to work because AI is basically going to do everything that you did. And therefore, unless you're willing to go back and learn and upskill, and you got to take people who are basically at midlife, and midlife is coming a little earlier and earlier because of the speed of things, but you got to figure people over 35 are not going to be able to upskill. There, a few of them will because they have special talents. I mean, there's only 30 million programmers in the world. And we all know that there's pressure on programmers, people on those light ends who are basically doing, you know, zeros and ones to not have work. And so consequently, what's going to happen is that there's going to be a whole lot of people challenging those programmers, especially in the bottom half, for work, because you can program now. Anyone here can program. Now, it may not be great yet, but it's going to be. I mean, you know, everybody has indications that the programming is going to be great. So I think that what we have to understand is, one, the inevitability of this shift. Number two, there may be a period of time before people get their stuff together in order to help most people, which means that you're going to see a serious fall off in people who can't retire and get Social Security yet. I think somebody mentioned the other day that they should drop Medicare to 45 and Social Security sooner. But the problem is we do not have the income producing assets because the Social Security money has always been loaned to offset the deficit in the budget. So we've done a real bad job with that. But you're going to have to see some really drastic changes in order for them to put net under everybody, and people are just not going to know what to do. Now, I know there's a lot of great, well-meaning people out there who are willing to say, okay, it's amazing how time flies. There's a lot of hardworking, well-intentioned people who are going to want to say, okay, if I have to start over, I'll start over. How do I do it? And that's where coaching AI comes in. You're going to start over. You're going to get a partnership with AI. You're going to understand self-knowledge. You're going to understand purpose centricity. You're going to understand what you need, how to feel good about it. And you're going to understand self and situational awareness where it matters most. And that is, how do I figure out what I'm good at, do a great job of it, do it better than most anybody else, and get paid for it? And that's essentially what's going to happen. It has to happen because you will not be able to go and earn money to do something to pay for what you really want to do, because AI is going to take it away. And because you're not fully engaged, because you're not real talented in that area, because you're not, because things don't work well, you won't be employed. Because I want to talk about, and please remind me this tomorrow, Gary, I want to talk about businesses' role in this, because they pretend, like the McKinsey consultant did, that they're doing a good thing by hiring 25% and firing 25%. The last time I checked my math, that was zero. That's not abundance. So, and then the people that they're hiring at the customer interface have a lot of different skills. They're going to be replaced too, because the world models that are coming out with robots are going to replace them easily because they learn faster. So it's a real difficult situation that we're walking into, and they keep trying to smooth it over with all the abundance that we're going to have, but that abundance may come too late for some people, and it may not come for some people at all. So we're going to have to be very careful about how we prepare ourselves and how we begin to work. That's going to be the end of my diatribe for today with Coaching AI. You can tell I'm very excited about it. I got a lot of high energy around it because I believe we can really help people. I believe that once people get out of the blank slate mode, start to go back and look at it as what do I really do well? What is it that I have a talent in? How do I keep myself motivated, getting up and staying up and doing the things that will give me twice the engagement? And then how do I use the AI to help me augment my capability, augment my intelligence? That's really going to be the key. However, that in itself is limited to people who get that notion or who are forced into it. And that's why coaching is going to be a lot different. A lot of people are going to be forced into coaching, whether they like it or not, because they're going to choose that as an alternative to depression, staying at home, watching TV, not having any money, those kind of things like that. Okay. That's it. I'm happy to come back and answer your questions in the next session, and we'll have a good roundy round about what we've talked about and what we can get done and how to do that. Thanks very much for attending.